I'm sure many of us were excited yesterday and day before yesterday and 3 days ago with the sunshine yesterday. In fact, I saw smiling faces at Lanark Lock. We drove to Lanark Lock and I was so surprised to see the amount, the number of cars in Lanark. In fact, it was more like going to Wishaw where you had to drive round and round and you are using one side of your eyes to see who was leaving so that you can park your car. And all the people we met as we walked around the lock were all excited. And some said, oh, I hope it remains. And some said, oh, I hope we have it every day. In fact, people were really joyful. People were really excited yesterday and in the past few days. And maybe this morning, somebody, you are here, you don't really have any reason to be joyful. You are wondering, why should we be talking about being joyful in a world full of troubles? In the next few weeks, we'll be looking at Philippians to look at Paul's attitude to life, his response to difficulties, and perhaps to learn and to draw strength as we journey into the future. The epistle to the Philippians is an uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring letter. It was a letter that Paul wrote during his 2 years imprisonment in Rome. Philippi was an important city in Macedonia. And if you recall in Acts of the Apostles, if you read chapter 16, you recall that Paul was invited by the Spirit that said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul left for Macedonia and preached the word. And in Philippi, which is a city in Macedonia, in the course of preaching, a lady called Lydia accepted the word and was baptized alongside with her family. And in the course of that, Lydia did not just repent and give her life to Christ. She also provided a home for Paul and Silas and his team. And as they were going to the temple for worship, there was this lady, this young girl, who was possessed by the spirit of a sorcery. So she could predict what was going to happen in people's lives. And each day she would see Paul and Silas, and she would speak to them and say, look, this is God's prophet. Everybody should listen to them. So it was more, she was saying the right thing, but it wasn't the right spirit that was speaking through her. Paul and Silas prayed, and the spirit left the lady. But the owner, the family of this young girl, were not happy because they felt that Paul had deprived them of their source of income. And so Paul and Silas were locked up in prison. While they were in prison, they prayed, they sang, if you read that scripture well, and at midnight, an angel came and they were delivered from prison. The prison guard wanted to kill himself, but when he noticed that Paul and Silas were there, he could not do anything again. But the prison guard gave his life to Christ and was also baptized. Paul had finished all of that and started the church in Philippi. About 10 years after, Paul again was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. And the church in Philippi were really identifying, they were praying for Paul. They were going after, sending letters, reaching out to Paul, and affirming the ministry of Paul, even though Paul was in prison. Now, when you look at that scripture, it begins with the letter was addressed to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. What I hope to do today is just to pick a few points from these first 11 verses. One, the letter was sent to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Now, there are two things here. It might seem to be very simple, but these two descriptions are really important for us. Saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Now, this has to do with identity. A saint is a believer in Christ Jesus, And that term is not based on what we do. It is dependent upon whose we are. It is not dependent on our actions. It is dependent on whose we are, the Christ Jesus that we belong to. Again, it is also important to note the order of Paul that Paul gives here. First in Christ and second in Philippi. Too many times as Christians, we reverse the order. We tend to affirm, for instance, I'm a Kalukan before being a Christian. But Paul is saying, you are a Christian first. You belong to Christ, and then you are a Kalukan. Now, I've engaged in conversation with some of us, and although we have lived in Kalu for 50 years, we still affirm our Lanakian identities. Lanakians. And they say, I'm a Lanakian. I'm not Kalukan. And although you have lived in Kalu for 60 years, you still say, no, I'm only here on visit. I'm a Lanakian. Is that not true? I mean, some of us say that. Now, the point that Paul is making here is that we are in Christ. We belong to Christ. First of all, before we belong to wherever we are coming from. Because it is by privilege that you are a Lanakian or you're a Kalukan or you're from Glasgow or Edinburgh. From Nigeria. So, first of all, we belong to Christ. Christ is our identity, and that is why we are here together. It is because of Christ that we can meet together here, even though we are Lanakians, we are from Glasgow, we are from different areas. We are here together, brothers and sisters, because we belong to Christ. And so, Paul is saying to the Philippians, you are in Christ. You belong to Christ. And that is really important. That is really important in the work we do among young people to affirm that identity, that we belong to Christ before we belong to any of these other contexts. And that is Paul's word. Our position in Christ should affect how we live in our city. As young people, our place in Christ should affect how we live in school. It should affect how we live at workplaces. It should affect how we live in our families. It should determine and influence our conduct in the exam, how we approach life difficulties. Our position in Christ is the determining factor on how we live when we travel away, when we are not within the sight of our parents or our teachers. Our identity in Christ is really important, and that is really what will guide us. My parents are not here. For many years, I've been out of sight of my parents. I only speak with them on phone. But my identity in Christ is what is really important. That is what is most important here. Now, in this little section of the scripture, we also see that Paul speaks about prayer. Paul is particularly thankful and joyful for the Philippian believers. I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. He says, I pray with joy. I pray with smiles. I pray and I remember you. I remember the work that you do in God's name. And he's always full of joy. When Paul remembered the Philippians, he prayed for them. He gave thanks for them because he was grateful for their partnership in ministry. And I'd like to say here, boys and girls, not too young, that whenever we remember someone, or whenever someone comes to our mind, we should assume it is because the Lord wants us to pray for such a person. In fact, in the past week, or rather on Saturday, when we had the prayer event here, we had our time as a family. And when the family had left, I stayed back on my own to pray. And I was praying. There was this particular minister in Nigeria that came to my mind, and I was praying. I was thinking about him, and I was praying earnestly, and I really wanted to reach out to him and maybe call him, but I couldn't have access. I couldn't get his phone number to reach him and to speak with him. And sadly, on Monday, I saw on Facebook that he has died. On one part, it was pain. Because he's one of those persons that had influenced our lives so much. Somebody we were looking up to, even as young children in Sunday school. I felt place and thankful to God, at least I had the opportunity to think about him and to pray for him. But on one hand, I was also feeling like, oh God, I wish I had spoken with him. I wish I had the opportunity to talk to him, because it was so much on my mind on that Saturday as I was alone in the upper room praying. And sometimes you have this kind of situation where somebody is pressed in your heart. A situation is pressed in your heart. It doesn't just happen accidentally. Perhaps God is inviting you to pray. And I remember one day too, I was just preparing to come to the vestry. And one of our members was very much on my mind. I was thinking about this person. I was thinking about the person. I was so pressed. It was pressed in my mind. And just before I could leave, I had a phone call. The person was in the hospital. There are times it happens in our lives, and we shouldn't take such times for granted. God prompts us to prayer. God prompts us to pray about situations and about people. And that is really important. For the work that is done among our young people, it can only be effective through the place of prayer. And I'd like to close here with the thoughts of Paul. What was Paul praying for? Paul was praying that the Philippians will have deeper love for God. Deeper love for God. Deeper love for God and for one another. Paul was praying. He said, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul prays that the love that these Christians have for God might overflow its boundaries. You know how you visit the beach? I'm always fond of Cramon in Edinburgh. And normally you have, if you're familiar with Cramon Beach in Edinburgh, you can walk across to the other part of the island, but they always say you need to walk back quickly before there's an overflow. Now, Paul is praying here that our love for Christ should overflow. It should overflow. Our love for Christ as young people, as we grow, should overflow. And our love as volunteers for the young people and for God should also overflow. There should be love in what we do, love in action, love in the way we relate and work with young people. Paul also prayed that Philippian believers will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. You know, many a time we pray for people. We pray that pain will cease. We pray that people will get out of trouble. We pray that people will be healed. We pray that a way will be made. Admissions will be secured. But we hardly pray. And sometimes we forget to pray for spiritual growth. But Paul was asking God that the Philippians will grow spiritually, that they'll be healthy spiritually, that they will grow spiritually, they will grow in their insight and in knowledge of who God is. And it is often said that you cannot give what you don't have. And so as volunteers, we seek to grow. We seek to grow in God's love. We seek to mature and to grow and to bear the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We seek to grow in all of this so that we'll be able to be good influences on the young people. As a congregation, we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for the mission of God in other parts of the world. We need to work together to see how God transforms our lives and also transform the life of the community wherein we live. Our prayer today is that the Lord will increase our love. Maybe if there's nothing else to take home from today's sermon, it is to take home the message that God wants to increase our love for him. Our love for him, our love for the people we lead. It's really important. We need our hearts to be filled of God's love. God's love for the people we lead. And even as young people, our hearts should be full of God's love. My days finally in the university, I had one course that I was finding very difficult. In fact, not like I was finding it difficult. It was Islamic studies. Our lecturer was such that said, look, you cannot expect to have an A in this course, no matter how much you try. And when I started, I had always thought I would make an A. And so I started developing, if you like, not hatred, but dislike for the lecturer. But I knew I could not do well unless I loved that lecturer. So I had to go back, and in my secret places of prayer, I was praying for this lecturer. And I said, God, I love this subject, and I want to love this man, and I want to make an A in this course. And that was really helpful, because contrary to what he has said, I made an A in that course at the end of the day. So we pray that God will fill our hearts as young people, fill our hearts with love for our teachers, fill our hearts with love as teachers for the young people. Amen.